The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, and we've got a Kornheiser-free Wednesday.
But it's going to be chock full of Phil and Frank, baby. Let's go.
We can handle it. We can handle Phil and Frank Wednesday.
I got called that in Scottsdale, and they said, where's Michael Wilbon? I said, did you check the golf course? Did you check the Phoenix Suns game? I came all the way out here, and he left.
Those are likely places.
As the kids say.
Good searching. Welcome to PTI with Kornheiser slacking today. I'm pleased to be joined by my dear friend, Mr. Frank Isola. Yeah. We begin today with some well-known names being floated in advance of tomorrow's NBA trade deadline. The Raptors are reportedly dangling Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell. The Pelicans are apparently open to dealing Lonzo Ball. Aaron Gordon is asked out of Orlando. Victor Oladipo looks to be out of Houston. And the Spurs are said to be open to trading DeMar DeRozan. Frank, what deal do you think could change the title picture the most?
You know what, Mike? For me, the one player that can kind of take that team from here and raise it up just a little bit more is Kyle Lowry. You put him on Philadelphia, you put him on Miami, the Clippers, the Lakers, he's a difference maker. It's almost Chris Paul light. The leadership he gives you, we know that he's, you know, been in big playoff games before. He can knock down big shots. I had heard he's intrigued with Miami, and Kyle's a smart guy. He's looking to set it up where if you're going to trade me, I want to get paid once I get there. But I've also heard that Toronto isn't just going to pacify him by letting them go and not getting something in return. So they're looking to make a deal, and rightfully so, which is good for them because, as you know, the wheels have fallen off Toronto. 9 losses in a row. Siakam is fighting with the head coach, Nick Nurse. This thing has been a mess.
It has been. Frank, listen, they're not going to contend this year. They had to know that to a degree. Masai, of course, knew that coming into this year. And part of that approach is what do you do with Kyle Lowry and what can you get back for him? But let me go over some of these other things. Look. I mean, I like every player on that list. I don't understand why the Celtics seem, I don't know, all that interested, maybe even preoccupied in Aaron Gordon. I'm not sure that the Celtics can make an acquisition at the trade deadline that's going to turn around their unbelievably disappointing season. But when I look at this list, I see guys that can help a team change the title picture. I don't see that. Even though DeMar DeRozan, he's still got some gas in the tank,
yes.
I think, at what, 31 years old now. Oladipo can help several teams, but I am with you. Mr. Lowry's the guy. And by the way, yes, Philadelphia, his hometown, has to be interested. You know, Miami's going to gauge, you know, what it can do to perhaps acquire him. But what are the Clippers waiting for, Frank? That's a team that has a glaring need, the same glaring need it had last year. And I'm not talking about the one where you can fix voices and chemistry if that was an issue. But you can fix the point guard situation, the lead guard situation, if you're the Clippers. We just saw it a year and a half ago. We know what Lowry can do. You mentioned leadership. He brings that. I mean, Abundanza. Clippers aren't all in trying to get Lowry, I don't know. I mean, Lonzo Ball can help people later. Well, he's a 35-year-old veteran, and he's got the savvy and multiple trips to the playoffs and all of that. That's one thing. But I don't see anybody, and that's why I don't think there's a rush. It's not a gold rush right now at the trade deadline because I don't see one person other than Lowry who can make that kind of difference.
And, you know, if you put Lowry with the Clippers, he's back with Kawhi Leonard. He's back with Serge Ibaka. My thing about Oladipo, he's kind of struggled through injuries, and he is on a team that just lost 20 straight games. So I don't know if he elevates you that much. Always remember this, though, Michael. There is one team that is going to make an addition, which isn't technically a trade, and that's the Nets getting back Kevin Durant. So you see the role that they've been on with James Harden. They're going to add a top three player in the league. Nobody could beat them now, and Kevin Durant isn't playing.
And
so every move in the East that you're making, remember that eventually Kevin Durant is coming back to play.
Real quickly, too, the Bucks already made their deal getting P.J. Tucker, which I think
is a
really, really good addition. And the Suns, you look at what Torrey Craig did just last night on the road, helped take down Miami. I mean, Torrey Craig's a guy who you're still going, wait a minute, is he in Denver? Is he in Milwaukee? He's on the Suns now. They made their deal, too. I was angry about the Suns not getting P.J. Tucker back. And then you look at Torrey Craig, you go, wait a minute, James Jones may have done a really important thing here for that team down the stretch.
And you're right about the Bucks, though, getting Jrue Holiday the offseason, and now, of course, P.J. Tucker. All right, let's move on to hockey, Mike. The NHL says that referee Tim Peel will no longer work any games after being caught on a hot mic last night confessing that he called a dubious penalty on the Predators. Here's what it sounded like.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in the...
Interesting. All right, Mike, the NHL said this morning that there was no justification for Peel's comments and would take any and all steps necessary to protect the integrity of its game. Mike, do you back how the NHL handled this?
Not really. And by the way, this official was out in April. He was retiring. So, they're not really flexing the NHL. They want to appear as if they are. They're not. But, Frank, let's go to the more important thing. This is about optics. This is spin. This is PR. No league wants to, even though they all are married to technology. They don't want the conversations on the ice, on the court, in the field of play, at home plate in the batter's box. They don't want this stuff made public. You and I know enough players over enough decades to know these kinds of conversations take place all the time. Guys know they miss calls. They'll say to a player, I blew it. You'll get it back in the fourth. You'll get it back in the third period. This happens all the time. And if the NHL or NBA or Major League Baseball or NFL wants to act like these conversations don't take place, they're liars. They're being frauds. Yep. It's disingenuous for the NHL to act like these conversations don't ever happen. That's garbage.
And
they do happen.
Michael, dealing with the NBA, it's kind of like something that everybody knows. Now, the refs will deny it. The league will deny it. We know there are makeup calls that happen. And in hockey, how many times do you watch a playoff game, if they call a penalty on one team in overtime and that team survives that penalty, it's almost accepted at some point you're going to call
coming.
The penalty on
you
the other team because there's going to be a makeup call. Now, in this game, there was a penalty called on Detroit in the first period. They give the call against Nashville in the second period. The referee, he was saying what we all know. He was saying there wasn't much there, but I called it. But here's where the leagues are concerned, because now gambling's involved. So now you have in-game gambling. Am I betting on a goal being scored in the period or them shutting out the team? Don't have mics on. Don't put the mics
Don't put the mics on. But that's why it's disingenuous. And that's on the league. They want to be in partnership with the gambling houses and do it. But don't just lie to us. I mean, but seriously, it's so funny. When we used to have great courtside seats in a lot of arenas, people would say, you know, it's Frank, they see us sitting there and they go, what were you and I solo laughing about in the third quarter? And, you know, no, I'm not telling you what we were laughing about. The conversations are funny. They're accepted by players. They're accepted by coaches. You just can't have them on the air. And so this story angers me because it's lying. It's just disingenuous garbage.
Mike, game one, game two of an NHL playoff game or an NBA game that gets physical. The very next game. The officials start calling everything, whether it's a penalty in hockey or quick fouls and technical fouls to control the game.
And they make it known. They tell the guys on the ice and the bench. They tell them.
That's right.
Out in the open. Stop.
That's right.
Please. Man. Baseball plans to crack down on pitchers' use of foreign substances. When have we heard that? ESPN obtained a memo in which the sport tells teams it will not only inspect baseballs more closely, but also monitor increases in, here's that phrase, spin rate to identify pitchers who the league thinks are loading up the ball. In 2018, Trevor Bauer estimated to HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel that 70% of pitchers use gunk and said its impact is greater than steroids. You okay with baseball monitoring spin rates to catch cheaters, Frank?
You know, it makes me laugh. I remember going to a Mets-Dodgers playoff game as a kid, and Jay Howell, the reliever for the Dodgers, got kicked out because the Mets alerted the umpire that he had something on his glove, some type of substance. He was kicked out. What about Gaylord Perry, who made a career out of the spitball or convincing people he was in the Hall of Fame? Do you know
in
that
pockets.
He never got ejected from a game until he was in his 21st season? So this is another thing that's kind of accepted. But
it
now
is.
With the whole thing with spin rate and StatCast data, they're going to compare the spin rate to a pitcher's career norms. So now you're telling me that technology you use can determine whether or not a guy spent the offseason getting bigger, stronger, at throwing the ball. And, Mike, it's all about trying to change the game from being a home. We love baseball, but it's become a home run, strikeout, walk league. They want guys putting the ball in play. You know how you do that? Have something, some type of illegal defense. These infield shifts, that's what's ruining the game, not spin rate.
Frank, I totally agree with you. And this is disingenuous, too. I mean, baseball, which is fraudulently, I mean, you know, baseball's motto for 140 years has been, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And yep. And I, baseball's my first love as a sport. I always accepted that. I don't want to hear spin rates. I don't want to hear, it's just garbage. Again, baseball is trying to move away from something that it's sort of wink, wink approved for years. You know, just home runs and strikeouts, even the marketing. Chicks dig the long ball.
That's
when that
right.
thing came out 20 years ago. So baseball is being as fraudulent with this as the NHL is with the last story we talked about. How are you? Suppose a guy worked for two off seasons on snapping off a breaking pitch and his spin rate has increased over his career
That's
level.
Right.
You're not going to acknowledge that. You're going to let technology do something you don't have the guts to do at the top of Major League Baseball? And the answer, Frank, is of course, because they'll let technology and they will let the numbers run their sport. It ought to be embarrassing, but I promise you baseball isn't.
The best reliever in the history of the sport, Mariano Rivera, got better. He was a starter, learned to throw that cutter, and look what became of him. The problem is you have guys hitting ropes, and they're getting lining out to short right field because the second baseman is standing in shallow right field. That's if you can have a legal defense in the NBA, they change the rules in hockey. They change it in football. Change it in baseball. Forget
That's
what
right.
the purists think. It'll make you have to evolve at some point, and the sport needs it right now.
The purists are all dead and dying because all you get is GMs running teams off a computer. That's what
That's
baseball
right.
is reduced to now, and they don't have the guts to take that on. Let's take a break. But coming up, Porter Moser has done great things as head coach at Loyola. What are the chances he leaves for a bigger school?
I'm going to give you a five-minute misconduct for getting on baseball. And which Pac-12 team has had the more impressive tournament run? UCLA or USC?
Not bad.
Frank, I'm okay with checking the ball for substances. I'm okay with that. Fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
That's
spin
fun.
Rate. The best thing baseball can do with spin rate is don't ever speak the words again.
That's a good spin.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to stick it to fill in Frank and toss up what's first.
Toss up more impressive, UCLA or USC?
Well, Frank, obviously they're both impressive. I mean, UCLA at 11 seed, I didn't even have them beating Michigan State in the play-in game. I still call it the play-in game. And USC, there's two things that are going to make me take the Trojans in this, Frank. One is the presence of the Mobley brothers. I mean, Evan, NBA scouts are already drooling over the freshman. Evan Mobley, a seven-footer who can just seemingly do everything. And Isaiah, his older brother, actually a sophomore. The two of them, I mean, they are just impressive on so many levels. And they helped lead a beatdown of Kansas, the likes of which you just don't see. A 40-plus point victory over Kansas. I'm going to take SC.
Yeah, worst tournament loss for Kansas in the program's history. And by the way, Eric Mobley from the Bronx is the father of both the Mobley boys. I'm going to go with UCLA for this reason. Number one, they're already 3-0 in the tournament. And you mentioned the Michigan State game. They were down double digits in that first
half.
They came back and won. But they're missing three guys that were projected to be starters. Deshaun Nix ended up going to the G League. Chris Smith tore his knee, messed it up. He's done for the season. And then Jalen Hill left the team for personal reasons. So they've suffered some big losses. And Mick Cronin has this team in the Sweet 16. Pretty good job.
I wonder the last time this late into March we've talked on PTI about UCLA and USC,
and USC
in basketball. As a staple for some decades, but not lately.
Pac-12
what's next?
Has been great in
toss
time.
Up. What should Porter Moser do? Stay at Loyola or leave?
This is easy for me, Frank. Stay. The notion that he's going to go someplace bigger. What? Like New York has real college basketball anymore? It doesn't.
Whoa.
So you're talking to, sorry. I mean, it doesn't. So now we're talking about Chicago, Houston, L.A., that, in whatever order you want to go. We just talked about L.A. So L.A. is in play right now again. But why? He's at a beautiful campus that I have some intimate knowledge with, and so do you, being a Northwestern parent. You've driven past and through Loyola. You know how beautiful it is. He's in a recruiting hotbed. I know people come in and they cherry pick Chicago kids out, but Mike Krzyzewski ain't going to coach forever. Some of those kids may wind up going to Loyola. I hope they come further north about 4 miles. But no, leave to go where? The guy's got a great life. Why does he need to leave? He doesn't. He shouldn't.
Yeah, maybe the Big East should recruit Loyola, put them in their conference. If he's going to leave, now is the time to do it. Can he turn Loyola into maybe the Gonzaga of the Midwest? Here's the thing to keep in mind. Rick Majerus is one of his mentors. The Marquette job is open. Marquette puts a lot of money into that basketball program, and they pay a lot as well. DePaul's available. I don't think he's going to get that, or he would make that move. It's kind of
a lateral move.
Indiana. But Marquette would be the one that I would look at. I could see that.
I don't want to get the text from Doc Rivers later tonight or Jimmy Butler and saying, what are you doing trash at Marquette? Marquette's been a great job for a long time.
Yep.
Who's been better lately? Loyola's been better lately. Indiana, the problem is Indiana just fired a coach. Indiana is one of those programs, like the college football programs, that thinks it's the school's birthright to get to the Sweet 16. Try again. That's a trap door in Bloomington, and it ain't like the weather's any better in Bloomington than it is in Chicago. Please.
Dwayne Wade just texted me. He's mad at you, Mike. Very upset.
I love all these
very
Marquette
upset.
Guys, and it's connected to Chicago, and there's a lake there, but I ain't leaving if I'm Mosier. I'm not. That's it. Sorry, guys. Let's take one last break, but still to come, does Draymond Green have a case when he calls himself the best defensive player of all time?
And what, if anything, does Joe Flacco do for the Eagles?
Man, I don't know that Loyola's ever had anybody like Wade, Doc, and Jimmy Butler. They've never had those guys, but they've been in the Final Four. They're going to get in the Final Four again this year.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to get happy, people. Happy 62nd birthday, Ronaldo Nehemiah, one of the truly great athletes of the 20th century. Football wonks will consider Nehemiah's tenure as a receiver with the 49ers his greatest athletic accomplishment. But for others of us, he remains the greatest 110-meter hurdler ever. The former world record holder, the first man to go sub 13 seconds, number one in the world for 4 straight years. He was nicknamed Skeets as a baby because he crawled across the floor so fast. He was the LeBron of high school track and field back in the day. He won everything in sight. And if that wasn't enough, he is impossibly handsome and charismatic. He was a lock for the 1980 gold medal, except for that U.S. boycott thing. And just to underscore the point that not even history could beat him, he set the world record in Zurich a year later. Had he limited himself to it, Nehemiah, many believe, would have gone 9-9 or faster, Frank, in the 100.
This was, is a cool story. Skeets Nehemiah, they said they were worried if he could take a hit in the NFL. He made out all right for himself.
Yeah, he did everything all right. It all worked out right. Happy anniversary, Denny Crum, on this day 41 years ago. He won his first NCAA championship as a head coach, his first of two at Louisville with six trips to the Final Four. Before that, Crum assisted John Wooden in three of his 10 championships at UCLA, where Crum also played. His first Final Four team lost to Wooden in UCLA, and when Crum won his first, it came at the expense of his alma mater. To this day, only Rupp and Izzo have led teams to as many Final Fours, and only Wooden, Dean Smith, Coach K, Ole Roy, and Rick Pitino have been to more. You want authenticity? Crum's early teams are credited with originating the high five, and his 1980 team, led by Darryl Griffith, was known as the Doctors of Dunk.
You know, Alan Houston's father, Wade Houston, was an assistant under Denny Crum. They wanted Alan to take his recruiting visit when Shaq did. The final day of the visit, Denny Crum cooks breakfast for everybody. They sat there and watched Shaq eat pancake after pancake. Alan Houston said it was amazing. Of course, Shaq went to LSU.
It's a great story. It's a great recruiting story. Happy trails to the Jets for Joe Flacco. The Eagles signed the 36-year-old free agent quarterback to a one-year, $3.5 million deal. That's more than double what Flacco made for the Jets last season, for whom he appeared in five games, completing 55% of his passes and going 0-4 as a starter in place of Sam Darnold when he was injured. It's now been more than 9 years since Flacco and the Ravens edged Colin Kaepernick and the Niners in the Harbaugh Bowl. Flacco was named MVP of that game, but in 2018, he lost his starting job to Lamar Jackson. Flacco said last season that he has a lot left and that his goal is to once again become a full-time starter in the league. To do it with the Eagles, he'll have to beat out incumbent Jalen Hurts.
I think he's going to get a chance to play. Plus, he's the quintessential Mid-Atlantic quarterback. He's played at Delaware, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, and now Pennsylvania. There
Can't
he is,
leave.
Mr. Mid-Atlantic.
He's got that Kornheiser thing going on. No errors today. We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. The Bucks will re-sign Ndamukong Suh and offensive tackle Donovan Smith. What does that tell you, Frank?
Yeah, they're all coming back because Tom Brady's coming back. Run it back.
Yep.
All four one seeds in the women's tournament advance to the Sweet 16. Your thoughts?
An upset is still a big deal in the women's tournament. This is the 11th straight year that's happened, Frank. Draymond Green told the Dubs Talk podcast he is the best defender to ever play the professional basketball game. You agree with that?
Bill Russell, Scottie Pippen, LeBron, Michael Jordan, I'm not so sure. Mike Tyson now says he'll fight Evander Holyfield on May 29th. Are you counting on it?
I was at the first two. I want to be at this one as well. I really do. Last one, the Bucks go for their eighth straight win tonight against the Celtics. You like their chances, Frank?
Even if Giannis doesn't play, I like their chances. They won without him in the last game.
Man.
Bucks have been pretty good lately. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, your SportsCenter.